Thank you for agreeing to come on. And I'll just show you the, how UK counter-terror police colluded with Zionists to detain me after the Beirut trip. Now, this was on, I think it was Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This is a Schedule 7 detention at Heathrow Airport. Can you tell us a bit more about what a Schedule 7 is? And you know what I really loved about your blog is they picked the wrong guy, because you seem to know everything about it more than they did.
Well, it was a bit unfortunate for them, wasn't it? I mean, Schedule 7 is, of course, part of the Terrorism Act 2000, one of the something like 13 or 14 terrorism acts we've had passed in this country in the last 25 years. And it allows the police at any port, which means, of course, a harbour, an airport, or an international train station like St Pancras, for example, to stop anyone that they fancy without having any evidence that they've done anything wrong. And to hold them for 6 hours to detain them, as opposed to arrest them. And that document you showed is what they give to you, and you have to sign it to say that you've understood it. They, in fact, read all of it out word for word and check that you've understood what's happening to you. And they can hold you for 6 hours. They're not arresting you, so therefore you have no right to silence, and you have to answer their questions. And you, have to give them the PIN numbers for any devices that you might have, etc. That would itself be an offence were you to refuse, and they might prosecute. So,
and we've had that with Kit Clarenberg and Craig Murray and Richard Medhurst have all had that same Schedule 7. Is that right?
Yeah, well, Craig and Kit, and I think Vanessa Bailey too. But I think, although Richard probably, I forget from memory what he was stopped exactly under, but he was then arrested under the other provisions of the Terrorism Act. But I think he was Schedule 7 at the first moment. I mean, his description of the process arriving at Heathrow was almost exactly the same as my process. I mean, I came off the plane at 9:30 from Istanbul, and I came up the first escalator to get to the walkways, and there was this sort of circle of people standing around waiting, and I thought immediately, you know, one of them's a cop, they're waiting for me, and I thought the rest of them must be cops and they're waiting for somebody else. And it was only when we started walking along the walkway that I realised that they were all coming. So I turned around and I counted out how many there were. 8 cops. And as I said, you know, I'm a big lad. Yeah, sure, I'm over 6 foot. But does it take 8 officers to detain me, really? Of course, they laughed. They laughed quite a lot at my quips.
Were you in any way sort of, are you always prepared for that? That you might get detained?
Am I always prepared? Well, I mean, obviously the police might be watching, so obviously I'm always prepared. But I was prepared for this. I mean, it was obvious they were going to stop me, because there had been this massive campaign online and in the press to have me arrested, and expressing outrage that I was in Beirut at the funeral of Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, and of course Sayed Hashem Safieddine, the next leader of Hezbollah. So yeah, I knew they were going to do that, so I was prepared. We worry about these things when they come up, when, you know, in advance. But the moment they stopped me, I was absolutely fine. It was, you know, it was quite hilarious in points. So some of the stuff.
So when you were coming on the plane, you'd known that back in this country, people had been highlighting your social media posts about your attending a funeral of someone who was in Hezbollah as a reporter. You were reporting on this, and they were saying this is outrageous. He's at this funeral. Now, in the article that you've written, you named some of those people. Here is a select list of Zionist agents and assets who called for me to be arrested: Gary Spedding, Sabrina Miller. So this is on the 23rd of February, they were saying this, calling for you to be arrested. I mean, labour against anti-Semitism and campaigning against anti-Semitism. Now, this is a quote from the Jewish Chronicle Campaign group Labour Against Anti-Semitism said they had reported Miller to the police following his post about attending the ceremony. The Campaign Against Anti-Semitism added, "What do our terror laws mean if someone can attend the funeral of a mass murdering terrorist and return to the UK as if nothing has happened? If this is not a matter for the police, then clearly our laws require urgent review." And in a statement to the Jewish Chronicle, counter-terrorism policing confirmed that it was assessing relevant material with a view to determining whether further investigation is required. Did you read that Jewish Chronicle piece before you came back? That must have been quite, no? All right.
I'm not sure that came out before I came back, did it? I think it might have come out the day after. I mean, certainly the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism was slow off its mark. It was the next day, quite late. So they were much later than the LAAS, which is, I think, interesting. But no, I wasn't aware of that stuff. I was aware of the stuff on Twitter, on X, including our friend, comrade Gary Spedding, and of course Sabrina Miller, who was one of the ones who led the campaign against me at Bristol, which had me sacked in October 2021. So yeah, that's what they do.
What do you think about this statement by counter-terrorism policing to the Jewish Chronicle, confirming it was assessing relevant material? That just shows a direct correspondence between that media and the police.
Right. I mean, they were bound
to do that. If I sent a message to counter-terrorism policing saying, "Can you give us a comment on this?" they'd tell me to piss off.
They might do. They might not be that rude, but they were bounced into this by the Zionists. I mean, it's perfectly plain that that's the case, that's how these things work. You know, it's perfectly plain that that was the case in the sense that we know that I was mass reported, but also the other bit of evidence I would adduce, which I'm privy, is that when I was being interrogated, they had no idea about anything that I said on Twitter, anything that I'd done in Beirut, although I'd posted about quite a lot of it, including viewing at first hand the destruction, mass destruction of civilian villages in southern Lebanon at the border, in Kafr Kila, for example, where I was one of the first two Western journalists to get there after the Zionists had left 4 days before, and indeed also in Marun El Ras, where they had completely destroyed 600 dwellings, houses, people's houses, no Hezbollah bases, simply people's houses. And so they hadn't any knowledge of that whatsoever. And the most telling detail was that I when I first got off, I said, they asked me if I'd just come from Istanbul, and I knew that they knew that I had come from Beirut. So I said, no, I've come from Beirut, where I was covering the funeral of Hassan Nasrallah. Now, the key word there, of course, was the word covering. So, of course, when we got to the interrogation, that was the first question they asked. What were you doing there? And I said, well, I was covering it. I was, I work for Press TV and for other journalistic outlets. And I was there on behalf of Press TV as a journalist. And of course, that undermined the whole possibility of anything coming out of the interrogation at all, really, because they'd already lost any kind of argument they might have, because nobody thinks that journalists are not allowed to cover the funerals, even of quote unquote mass murdering terrorists, which of course is a preposterous description of Hassan Nasrallah. But anyhow, they'd already lost. So I'd already mentioned Press TV at the very beginning of the interview, and they didn't know what Press TV was. They didn't know. They had no idea. And it took them 45 minutes to an hour before they asked me more about what Press TV was. And when I told them what Press TV was, then they got excited and they started to ask me questions about whether my colleagues at Press TV had extreme ideas. And that just led to a whole series of daft questions, which were more and more hilarious.
So, I mean, someone's put in the chat, is a tick box exercise. I mean, what is it sort of like they're being put? I mean, so this campaign against anti-Semitism's contacting the police. They're saying, you better get this guy. And they say, okay, we'll sort that out. But they don't really have anything they can do with it other than kind of harass you. Is that what's going on? I mean, you're not going to be charged with anything, are you?
Well, I wasn't charged with anything. I mean, of course, they in principle, they could get a warrant and come and raid my house and take any devices that I might or might not have in the house. Of course, they could do that. But they would have to get a warrant for that. They'd have to think that there was some possibility of some crime having been committed. Now, of course, they did that, as we'll all recall, with both Asa Winstanley and with Sarah Wilkinson, and of course then with Richard in Vienna. The police then raided his home some months later, just the other week, wasn't it? They raided his home, that's the Austrian police. So of course it's not impossible that they could do that, but I mean, it was so embarrassing for them, I think, that it's unlikely that they might do that. But we just don't know. You have to, we have to see how this develops. I'm not anticipating a raid, but equally, you can't tell what they're going to do. But the key thing, of course, is that they were bounced into by the Zionists, and it shows that, people say to me, "Oh, you think the Zionists are all powerful and all this stuff," and I, of course, I don't think that. But this is a clear indication that the Zionists have power. They got me detained for 3.5 hours, by the measure of denouncing me on X. And of course, perhaps the most important denunciation was in the Telegraph, where the former housing minister, Robert Jenrick, the fanatical Zionist, denounced me and said that I wasn't even hiding my anti-Semitism. I have no idea how he got that from the posts I sent on X. And I wasn't even hiding my support for Hezbollah. I'd made no such statements of support for Hezbollah, of course, because that would be illegal. But in the process, I mean, this is something to say to people if you get stopped. And before I go on to talk about that, I should say, of course, that 80% of people who get stopped do not have white skin. And of those that are stopped who have white skin, which is under 20%, that includes people who categorise themselves as white Irish and white other, which, of course, means that the actual far-right people who are stopped is probably 15, 10, 15%. Anyway, so they ask you questions, but it's perfectly plain that you can, first of all, they can't prosecute you on the basis of what you say unless you contradict what you say in the interview later. Right, they can't prosecute you. But the other thing, of course, is that they want to know about support for proscribed organisations. Do you support them? It's not an offence to support an organisation. It is an offence to say that you support or invite support. And then they ask you that kind of question. And I said, well, look, my position on this is the same as it was when I was asked this question in my tribunal, my employment tribunal against the University of Bristol in October 2023. And my position is that the UN General Assembly has passed numerous motions which say, amongst other things, that when people are occupied, and indeed including specifically the Palestinians, they have a right to resist by all available means, including armed struggle. It says that in the UNGA. And of course, everyone should, and that indeed the international law supports the right to resist via armed struggle of the Palestinians and anyone who is occupied by a foreign power. So, of course, that's not against the law. And then, now you might say, well, it must be against the law because that's the same as supporting Hamas. No, it's not. And that's the distinction. So, of course, when they talk about the Palestinians and Palestinian resistance, they don't have any idea that there is anything else other than Hamas. Now, of course, all of us know that there are something like 10 or 11 separate Palestinian armed groups, even just in Gaza alone, who are engaged in armed struggle against the Zionists. And it's not illegal to support the right of people to take up arms against their occupiers. So that's the first thing. And you can get into a debate with them about that kind of thing and push back against it. So whenever they came to me with words like extremism or the Western way of life or terrorism, it just ended up embarrassing for them. And so, after 3.5 hours, they let me go.
So they let you go early because they'd had enough. I mean, they could have, it was 6 hours they could have held you, wasn't it?
They could have done, but there was no purpose. It would serve no purpose to
catch. Yeah, but you must have been a real pain in the neck. I reckon I'd have had enough of you after a couple of hours. If you were chatting back to me.
That's kind. Thank you.
No, I mean, if I was a copper, I mean, obviously, if I was a policeman who doesn't know anything about anything.
That was the most important, most extraordinary moment was when they were trying to get at whether my colleagues at Press TV had extreme views and then whether they opposed the Western world. And I said, well, look, millions of people in the world, including in Britain, oppose the Western world. That's a ridiculous question. So the last question they asked was, look, do they support all this terrorism in the UK? And I said, well, what terrorism? What specifically are you talking about? And the guy said Southport. He said the Southport attack, which, of course, was not even regarded by the police as terrorism. And his mate sitting to his right even had to correct him and say, no, actually, that wasn't terrorism. So it was just an embarrassment.
Well, I think it just to finish, I mean, have a campaign against anti-Semitism or any of those groups that were calling for your arrest made a comment on your having been detained at Heathrow?
Uh-huh. I haven't seen anything. I mean, the whole thing is a farce. There are the Home Office Assistant's website. I put a screen grab on the article, a list of offences which relate to prescription. None of them have anything to do with the act of instigating or commissioning a terrorist act with bombs and guns and all that stuff. None of them have anything to do with it. And that's why, really, in the end, all of these offences of prescription should be abolished. There's no need to have the prescription of terrorist organisations. It's not an actual crime. It's only a thought crime or a belief crime or a free speech crime. If you want to stop people committing acts of terror with bombs and guns, then you make that illegal, which, of course, it already was. So what this shows really is the need simply to abolish all of these offences.